Calvary.
Getting back to the basics
of Calvary. I did not feel to continue that here tonight. I felt like the Lord has led us in a little bit of a different direction here this evening. But I know that He is wanting to speak to us. And He blessed us Sunday. And He wants to continue to minister to us through His word about the work of the cross and how it affects us, Calvary and me. And I tell you, the Lord is going to change the way we think, the way we pray, and change our walk with Him. Tonight, I'm going to talk for a few minutes on the subject of getting back to the basics of prayer. Back to the basics of prayer. I think sometimes we complicate things, and we bring in so many variables over time, so many things that we learn and things that we hear, and we kind of keep piling them up on this wagon until it just becomes overloaded, and we're not even sure whether God's hearing our prayers or not. Are we praying it right? One preacher comes and says, you got to pray with your left foot out. And then the other preacher says, you have to pray with the right foot out. And then somebody tells you, you have to be in the northeast corner of your closet. That's where God is. And you hear so much stuff that sometimes it just becomes convoluted and all mixed up in our brains. And we're not even sure if we know how to pray. You know, when it gets to that, you just strip everything away. You just forget everything you've ever heard. And you go back to the book and you get back to the basics. What are the basics of prayer? Because prayer is life-changing. It is mountain-moving. It's powerful. It is a relationship. Book of Mark, chapter 11, verse number 24. And the word of the Lord says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. These next three words is what I really want you to focus in on. When ye pray. So it's not a question about whether we should pray. It's when we pray. Whatsoever things ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. That sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? And we wrap all up in there all kinds of stuff that pollutes the simplicity of God's word. His word is simple. When you pray, believe, and you will receive. That's pretty basic. So we're going to talk about a few basics here of prayer and a few attitudes that certainly help with prayer. Tell your neighbor you should be humble. Tell your other neighbor you should be thankful. And so we're just going to deal with some real simple things that the Lord talks about when it comes to prayer. So let's put our Bibles down for a moment and just ask the Lord to anoint my mind tonight, your mind. Let's receive from the Word of God in love here this evening. Father, we thank you for your powerful word. We thank you for what we feel in the house of God already. Thank you for the way that you move through our altars at the beginning of this service. So many people touched, bodies were healed, deliverances were given, peace was received. And Lord, when you come to bring good gifts from above. And Father, we just open up our minds and our hearts right now to the word of the Lord. We want to get back to the basics of prayer. Lord God, when we get upon our knees or when we walk the halls or however we may position ourselves, when we come before you, we want to know that we are being heard. For the word of the Lord says that this is the confidence that we have in him, that when we pray, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we are assured that we receive the petitions we ask of him. Father, we want to know that you hear us when we pray. We love you, we praise you, we adore you, we magnify you tonight, we yield ourselves to you tonight, we receive from you, Lord Jesus, in the mighty name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give him a Holy Ghost hand clap of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody give him a praise. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, what a presence of God in the house. What a presence of the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I think one of the things we need to quickly come to an understanding of is that prayer is not mysterious. Prayer is not some, I don't know how to better say it than to do this. Woo! Did y'all get that? Y'all know what that means? Can y'all translate that into English? Prayer isn't some spooky, mysterious thing that you're gonna one day click into some great revelation or hook up into some high level of spirituality up there somewheres, and then all of a sudden prayer works. No, when you get into the Word of God, what you find out is that sinners can pray and God will hear their prayer if it's a prayer of repentance. Amen? If it's a prayer to come to him. People, listen, why don't you just remember for a moment when you first came to God. How many of y'all were Bible scholars when you come to God? Y'all just studied the words. You knew all about him and had learned all about prayer and faith and everything. Is that what you were when you came to God? Or were some of you drug addicts and some of you alcoholics and others you're in abusive situations or just living in such a way that you were just alienated and away from God? But you made your way down an altar. Some preacher preached and power of God touched you. And you made your way down an altar. And when you opened up your mouth, the glory of God came down. Why? Because when you prayed, he heard your prayer. It didn't take a lot of wisdom or a lot of insight or a lot of understanding. And please don't misunderstand, Pastor. I know we are to grow in God. You know that. You know I preach and teach that. We're to learn of God, grow in God. But don't complicate prayer. We need it too bad. Listen, when everything's going wrong in my life, I need to know I can touch God. When everything's going right in my life, I need to know I can touch God. When I'm rich, I need to know I can touch God. When I'm poor, I need to know I can touch God. When I'm educated, I need to know I can touch God. When I'm uneducated, I need to know I can touch God. And the only way that's going to happen is if you keep prayer where it's supposed to be. And that is simple communication with the Almighty God. That's what it is. There's nothing complicated about prayer. It's communicating with your Heavenly Father. That's what it is. But boy, we know how to complicate things. So we're going to get into the Word just a little bit. Find out just a little of what the Word of God says about prayer. The first time prayer is ever mentioned in the Word of God is in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 26. And the Word of the Lord says, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I want to talk about some basic and simple things about prayer, so that when you and I leave this place here tonight, we can have an understanding that it's not difficult to call upon the name of the Lord. In fact, I'm reminded of a verse in the Word of God that says, whosoever will. Whosoever, what? Yeah, that's right, but that was the wrong verse. Whosoever calleth. Shall what? Whosoever. It doesn't sound very complicated to me. If you've been in the church for one day, you can call on God. If you've been in the church for 15 years, 30, 50 years, you can call on God. Because he said, not me, not the preacher, not some scholar, not some theologian. God himself said, whosoever calls on my name. You can't get any more basic than that. That's just as simple as it gets. Why don't we try it? Stand to your feet. And why don't you call out the name of Jesus right now? Will you do it? Just call out his name. He's going to touch you. He's going to move on you. It's just that simple. Jesus. Whosoever. 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 My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Clap your hands to the name of the Lord. Whew. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to tell you, prayer is so simple. You can be driving your car and say Jesus and God will fall in the car. Prayer is so simple. You can be digging a ditch and say Jesus and God will fall upon you where you are. You can be walking down the road, Jesus and God will be there. Can I tell you something? You can't talk about God and he won't show up. He had a few of his disciples, remember that? Walking down the street. And it was after the death, burial, and resurrection. And they're walking down the street and they're talking about things. And this man shows up. And says, what's going on? And they said, what do you mean what's going on? Where you been? Said, Messiah came. They crucified him. They buried him. Now somebody come took his body. We don't know what's going on. We don't know where he's at. And they keep on walking and talking. But they were talking about Jesus. And you can't talk about Jesus without him showing up. My Lord, I feel something in the atmosphere here tonight. Let's continue on. Let's continue on. Let's deal with a couple of, how do you say this? I really don't know how to say it, actually. So I use a lot of words instead of one word. But let's deal with some false beliefs, false understandings about prayer. I'm going to tell you, the devil will torment you. He'll tell you, unless you're on both knees, God will not hear you. Hope your legs don't ever get cut off. Huh? He'll tell you that if your face isn't in the ground, then you must not really be calling on God. Some will say, no, you have to be walking and in authority and power. And then they'll say, well, if you don't raise your hands, or listen, study the Word of God. I don't care what posture you're in. When you call on his name, he's going to show up. Let's just look at a few scriptures. The word of the Lord says in 1 Kings in chapter 8 and verse number 54. I didn't give those to you. Don't try to go to them. It's too many scriptures. We can't read them all. But the word of the Lord says that Solomon was kneeling and lifting up his hands and praying unto God. In Exodus 4 and 31, it talks about Israel bowing bowing their heads. 2 Chronicles 20 and 18, Matthew 26 and 39. It talks about Jehoshaphat being flat upon his face. 1 Kings 8, 22. It talks about Solomon standing and God coming upon him. And in Acts chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2, this is the one that gets everybody, because who in the world would ever think you could be sitting down and God show up? But the Bible says, while they were all sitting, the Holy Ghost came in there and fell upon each of them. When I want to get rid of all this stuff, you got to be a certain way, sit a certain way, stretch a certain way, actor. No, he's almighty. All you've got to do is open your mouth and call upon his name. Prayer is simple. Get it in your head. Prayer is simple. It's not complicated. It's basic. It's the most basic experience you will ever have with God. Prayer. You could be laying down in a hospital room and whisper his name, and he'll be there. My God, have mercy. Yeah, listen, you can be mentally and spiritually and verbally abused by someone yelling and screaming at you. And in that adverse moment, you can say, Jesus, and he'll show up at that moment. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter your position. What matters is that you open up your mouth and you call upon his name. Somebody shout prayer. It's not your words either. It's not how fancy you articulate your words. God's not interested in how many syllables you can put together. I think the longest word in the English language is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That's a word. I have no idea what it means, but it's super. Don't use it in prayer. I don't think it would impress God at all. It's not how eloquent you say it. I'm not being, I'm trying to be in love and as compassionate as I can say this. It's not how beautiful you read the word aloud to him. Don't get caught up in yourself. Don't get caught up in your own voice, your own presentation of things. I don't care if you can't pronounce half of them. If you're reading a psalm to him of praise and you can't pronounce half the words, he'll fill in the blanks for you. It don't bother God. He's just excited. You're calling out to him. You're singing to him. You're reading a poem to him. Hallelujah. Don't let men of eloquent speech confuse your mind and make you think, oh, if I could just be that way. I think it was Jesus that said, ignore those men who stand on the corners and for much speaking, they think that they are heard. He said, no, it's the guy that's in the temple who's a sinner, who's beating his chest and saying, oh God, have mercy upon me. I am a sinner. Prayer is simple. It's basic. It's easy. All you got to do is talk to him. He's there like a loving father. I know a lot of times we preach and we try to compare him to earthly fathers. There is no earthly father that compares to him. He is the epitome of fatherhood. Love that never ends, that never quits, that never gives up. A father that will do anything for his child. And he is eager to listen. He's never too busy. He's not preoccupied. Woo! When you open up your mouth, you have his full attention. When you gaze your eyes in his direction, he's fastened upon you. His ears are attentive to every word and every emotion and every feeling. And he does care about everything. There is no problem too small to bring to him in prayer. How's that song go? Oh, what needless pain we bear because we do not bring everything to God in prayer. Whether it's small or whether it's big, he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear about your secrets. He wants to hear about your day. He wants you to tell him. He wants you to get excited about the things that happen and talk to him about it all. Don't just go to God when you have a need. Don't just pray to him when things go wrong. Get a relationship with God. Talk with him every day. Tell him about your day. Tell him about the good things. Tell him about the bad things. Talk to God. It's what prayer is about. Sean, when you're trying to make that sale, you go to pick up that phone, you probably don't even do it. You probably hired somebody to do it. But anyway, pick up that phone, you go to dial or that email, say, Lord, I really need you to talk to the person on the other end of this line. Bring God into that and see what happens. Bring God into everything that you do and find out. Listen, God's never made a bad deal. Ain't nobody gonna hoodwink God. Ain't nobody gonna pull nothing over on God. He'll put that little feeling down on the inside of you. And no matter how good it looks, you will know I'm your Father in heaven. No. Y'all got a little weak on that. You know why? Because we heard him say no 100 times, but we so stupid and stubborn, we do it anyway. Somebody say amen to that. Whew. How many of y'all walking down the aisle somewhere, you're thinking about buying something, you go to reach out for it, and you get that little feeling. The Lord says, no. And you go, what? Ain't nothing wrong with this. Ain't no sin up in here. Yeah? And you reach your hand out there and you pick that little item up and you buy it and you bring it home and you plug it in and the thing don't work. God wasn't saying you can't have it. God said, that's not the one. So you don't question his no's. You just go, whoa. How many of y'all done this? You go to buy something, you get that little voice that says, no. And you go, really? And you just... You got it? Try it on. Man, this is great. 2 days later, there it is, 50% off. Am I talking to you or what? That's how basic prayer is. That's how God wants to talk with you. He wants to walk with you down the aisles. He wants to go with you everywhere as you go, everything you do. He wants to be there. He wants to be in your conversation. He wants to be in everything you do, everything you see. All that you think, he wants to be all up inside and involved in it. And I promise you, if we'll learn to pray and talk with God on a daily basis in simplicity, it'll change our lives forever. God said tonight, get back to the basics of prayer. We pray because, well, it develops our relationship with God. You know, my wife and I have a beautiful marriage. It's, by the way, my mother-in-law is here, and we love Aunt, almost called her Aunt Becky. That'd be mom to me. She's down a few days helping Elizabeth. But Elizabeth and I have a wonderful marriage, mostly because of her. Probably about 98% her. I got about 2% in there. But what do you think would happen if all of a sudden I'd just start coming home and never say a word to her? And the only time she would ever hear my voice is when something was wrong. And the only time she would ever be in my vision or in my attention or anything is when I needed something fixed. But she would never hear from me under any other circumstances. So when I'm over here happy and then I'm in my joyful times, she's not included. It's only when things aren't done right and things aren't happening right, all of a sudden I drag her in and there she is. Listen, that's exactly the experience that too many of us have with God. The only relationship we have with God are bad times. It's bad times that we talk to Him. It's times of need that we communicate with Him. We never bring Him into our joy. We think, well, why would God want to be a part of something so carnal? What do you think He lives in? He lives in you. He lives in a fleshly body. And He wants you to have the pleasures of your heart. That's what the Word of God says. He's excited when you're excited. He's pleased when you're pleased. And, of course, He'll keep it all in righteousness. We understand that. But listen, when things happen and they go your way and things look good and you get that job, bring God into that. You get that pay raise, bring God into that, including your tithes. That's a good way to do that. And you get things going well in your life, you bring God into that. Rejoice with Him. Wasn't the Lord that said, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep? Don't just weep with the weepers. Rejoice with the rejoicers. This is what God wants from us in prayer. He wants us to have that relationship. Zechariah chapter 13, verse number 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire and refine them as silver is refined, and would try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. John put it this way, 15 and 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now the Lord instructed us to pray, to spend time with Him in prayer. Matthew 26 and 41, He said, watch and pray. And especially if you're at the dinner table and Hannah's at that table with you, you better watch and pray. Because if you close your eyes, you're going to be missing a chicken leg when you open them eyes. Please don't let that get back to her. And what's up with that anyway? What's up with that? I say a few things about my precious wife, and I can't even get to my car without her walking up to me and saying, I heard what you said about me today in church. Now, y'all need to choose your side. No, don't choose sides. You just be on my side. That's the problem, y'all choosing sides. 26 and 41. Watch and pray that you enter what? So I don't want to enter into temptation. So the Lord says, watch and pray. We watch for the things that we can see in the flesh to avoid them, but we pray so He will help us avoid the things we cannot see in the spirit realm. It's not just enough just to pray. That takes care of the spirit. You got to open up your eyes and watch. I don't want to get distracted and get off into temptation. We'll deal with that on another day. But we have to learn through the Word of God. We have to learn to watch. The Bible says we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. We have learned his tricks. We know how he gets at us. And so the Word of the Lord says, watch and pray. We pray that we enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he spake Luke 18 and 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. These are scriptures that Jesus Christ himself is telling us you need to pray. Pray that you enter not in temptation. To pray always that you do not faint. So you flip the coin. The coin is, it basically, the other facet of the coin is this. If you do not pray, you will yield to temptation. If you do not pray, you will grow weak and you will faint. Why do you think the devil busies our lives so much that we can't even find 5 minutes to give to God? The moment our eyes open up, we're busy preparing, busy doing, busy going, busy. We go, we run, we get, we serve other men throughout the day. We give them our time, our energies, our intelligence. We give them everything that we have. We come home, then we're busy with many other things and fill our lives up. And then we're tired at the end of the day and we lay our head up on the pillow and we say, "Oh Jesus," and we barely get his name out and we're sound asleep. He said, if we don't learn to pray, we will fall to temptation. If we don't learn to pray, we will faint and fall. Prayer has got to be something that each and every one of us learn, that we work into our lives. It is not something that will fall into your lap. It's not something that will just coincidentally happen or become a part of your life. It is something that you must purposely premeditate. You must determine. It is something that you must put action into. You must make happen in your life a time of prayer with him. Pray always. I understand that. We must always have him upon our mind. We must walk through the day. No matter what job we have, we should be whispering his name and loving him. And my, will it make the day go by so glorious. But then that is wonderful. And please do it and don't ever stop doing that. It's so important. It'll help you overcome so many temptations and so many things that the world throws at you. But listen to Pastor tonight. You must have a closet of prayer. You must have a time when you get away and there's nobody around and you can rip your soul open before him and you can bare yourself naked in the spirit before your God and pour out your heart and let him pour himself into you. You must have a closet of prayer. Everyone in this building today must have a time of prayer. It's the basics. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, watching therefore into all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I wish I had more time to deal with all that, but I want to finish this here tonight, and I just got a few more minutes. And then we ask the question, well, what if I don't know? How many of you know? And listen, you just need to learn to start doing this. You have to learn to practice this. This is why you need the Holy Ghost. If you're here tonight and you do not have the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you've never spoken in tongues, as the Spirit of God has given you the utterance of his Spirit abiding in you, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. Without that Spirit in you, you are subjectable and susceptible unto the powers of Satan to influence your mind and influence your spirit, put you in directions to confuse you and convince you of things as though they are true, even though we're a lie. Things that as though they were right, even though they are wrong. Satan can do that. He can blind you and deceive you. But the Holy Ghost will prevent that from happening inside of your life. We must have the Spirit. Another reason is there's times I get out. How many times you've ever asked this question? You know, I want to pray about it, but I don't know what the will of God is for it. I just can't figure out what the will of God is. The Bible gives you an answer. Likewise, the Spirit, Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I don't know what the will of God is. Then get down and begin to speak in tongues and pray in the Spirit and let the Holy Ghost intercede for you, because the Spirit knows the will of God. And in the middle of that prayer, while you're speaking in your heavenly language, God will begin to put things in your mind. He'll drop things in your heart, things you've never seen or you would have ever suspected or you would have ever thought about. All of a sudden, it begins to flood your spirit. Why? Because the Spirit is revealing the will of God to you. You don't know how to pray about something. You can't figure something out. You're not sure what the answer is. Lord, I wish the whole church was here tonight. There are a few things I'm just going to touch on. I'm not going to dwell on them long. Just 2 Corinthians 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? I don't think it takes that much sense to realize you can't come to God arrogantly. Then again, I don't know. There was one in the Bible, wasn't there? He stood before the Lord and he said, "Oh God, I'm so thankful. I'm not a sinner like that man. I am righteous before you. My garments are clean and they are sewed seamless. I am the priest of the living God. I am called of the order of the Levites. And I stand before you as this pious, holy individual. Therefore, God, thou art obligated to answer my prayers." Whew. When we come before him, we must come before him humbled. Understanding that we don't have the answer or we wouldn't be there. We're here because we don't have the answer. Humility. Let's continue. Jeremiah 29:13 tells us, he says, "Seek me and ye shall seek me and find me." When will that happen? When you search with all your heart. Listen, we're all guilty of this. We're in a hurry. We got things on our mind. And we come to God half-heartedly. Someone asks you to pray about something. And you say, you know, absolutely. And you say, Lord, oh, yes. Touch that, do that. Next. And it's too often that we come before him half-heartedly. Now, you know how it is. Come on, listen. My wife is the worst at this. But that's because she's busy. She is the worst at this. You can ask Hannah. Me and Hannah, we team up. We eat a lot, and we think the same, we do the same. But my wife will ask you a question, and you will open up your mouth and go to answer the question, and you'll get halfway through, and she'll just turn around. You're still talking. But she's got something else she's got to do. She didn't ask for an encyclopedia. She just wanted an answer to a question. So if you want to sit and talk about the tint of the green on the leaves of the tree you pass by, then you can go ahead and do that. But she's got better things to do. And she'll turn around and we yell at her all the time. "You asked me a question." "Oh, that's right, that's right." Listen, and I'm sorry. Please don't tell her. That's the second time I picked on her tonight. And I guess I can get away with it because Mom's here. She'll cook, so I can still eat. But that's got to be how God feels. We get on our knees and we approach the Lord about something and he's just about to answer. And we go, hold that thought. And we get up before God ever has an opportunity to communicate with us. If we'll be honest with ourselves, the majority of our prayers are one-way conversations. We come to him, talky, 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 talky. But we never wait on the Lord. We never just sit in his presence. And I'm telling you, if you'll just close it and sit, a power like you have never felt will ease its way on you. And revelation will begin to flood your mind. And the only thing that's happened is you gave God a chance to talk back. Let's stand. Everybody say humble. Say, give him all my heart. Of course, we know we need to believe, right? We need to do our best to believe. Most of us, at least I am, I'm always, the majority of my time and my prayers, I'm like the guy that says, Lord, I believe, but would you help my unbelief? Because I'm certainly not pure in my belief. James tells us if we're going to come before the Lord that the prayer of a righteous man, that doesn't. And see, here's where we get convoluted. Here's what I talked about earlier. And we complicate prayer. And we let the devil convince us that if we said one thing wrong or had one thought of anger or anything unrighteous or any kind of, then all of a sudden we're unworthy. Let me remind you of a scripture that the Word of God says that while you were yet a sinner, he died for you. When you were not seeking him, when he was nowhere in your thoughts, he crucified himself for you. Now, can you imagine now that you're at least attempting to walk down this path of righteousness with him, how much his gaze is upon you? How he is fastened upon you. And that he watches you stumble and fall. He's the one holding you with the hand, trying to teach you how to walk. And you fall and he picks you up, and you fall and he picks you up. You fall and he picks you up. And then you ask him a question. He's right there. He hasn't left you. Don't complicate prayer. Prayer isn't that I must be righteous to be able to pray. Prayer helps me to become righteous. Because the more I pray, the more I'm in his presence. And the more everything changes about me. If I have to be righteous to pray, it's a vicious circle. I will never succeed. Oh my God, this is so much. I wish we had hours to do this. And everybody say obedience. 1 John 3:22. I know you're standing. I really am. I'm closing. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. And we do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And that goes back right to what I was saying a moment ago. That doesn't mean you're perfected in keeping his commandments, that you do everything that's pleasing to him. But your heart, soul, mind, and body, and your strength prevails in that direction. Prevails. God hears our prayers. Prayers, I'm not even going to get on that. It's just too much. So, here's what we're going to do. We are going to quit letting that devil lied to us that when we begin to pray and he begins to fill our minds with things, pollutes our thoughts, convinces us that we're not worthy to pray. We're gonna rip all of that away because we're gonna simplify prayer. Prayer is me talking to him. It is no more complicated than that. And in that prayer, he'll take care of all of the ins and outs that need to be cared for. And when we go to pray and ask God for something, that's just what we're going to do. We're just going to ask and believe and leave it in His hands. But I'm going to encourage us. I'm going to encourage us. This is our homework. I want you to deliberately find a way to bring God into prayer, or into your life, however you want to say it, to bring God into something where you're not asking Him anything. You're just talking to Him. I don't know. Make it simple. When you get out in the morning, open the front door and say, "Wow, God did a great job today. This is awesome. Beautiful weather." Because you got to get up before 10:30. It's hot by then. Then you can blame the devil for the fall of man. But get up when it's 65 or 70 and just bring God in. And let's work on the next few days of just rejoicing with the Lord in things of our life. And it will change everything. Then you won't feel so guilty when you do have to ask Him something. Because how many of y'all know, the first thing we go is, "Lord, I know it's been a while, but I need," you know, and all, you got to fight through all that condemnation. Not if you'll learn to just walk with Him, rejoice with Him, bring Him into your life, talk with Him about things, and let God become a part of your daily conversation. Now, don't get thrown in this sane and solemn. Use a little bit of wisdom. Use a little bit of wisdom. But do it, and we'll see. We'll see a big difference. All right, so we're going to pray tonight in dismissal. And we're gonna ask the Lord to help us to get back to the simplicity of prayer, of just asking God. And remember, if you're not sure what the will of God is, just pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit certainly knows what His own will is. And the Bible tells us to do that. If you don't know what to pray about, how to pray about it, just pray in the Spirit and watch God move in and take care of these things. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for Your Word. Your Word is so rich. It's so good to us. You love us so much. You love us so much. God, You want to hear from each and every one of us. You love all of Your children. There's not a one of us here tonight that, Lord, that You do not want to hear from. You want to hear our voices. You want us to bring You into our lives and share everything with You. Oh, God, let our everyday life be shared with You, to walk with You and know You and abide with You, and let You abide with us, Your Word in us, and we in You, and Your Word in us. And oh, God, fellowshipping in the Spirit, Jesus. And I pray that You just help us to simplify prayer. Help us to uncomplicate it in our lives and know that all we have to do is open our mouths. All we have to do is meditate upon You. All we have to do is focus in Your direction, and You're there. You're there to deliver. You're there to help. You're there to set free. You're there to love us, rejoice with us, and be there with us, comfort us in our pain and our sorrow. And oh, Father, Lord Jesus, I ask you, Lord, I can see a revelation, a transformation coming, God, into the hearts of your people. I can see prayers being answered, God, because we ripped away all the layers of junk that we put on it, and we just simplified it. We asked, we believed, and we received, because you're righteous, not us. You're good, not us. Father, you are the God of love. We just bless you, we praise you, and we thank you, Father. Help us, God, to incorporate this word into our life. It is our prayer tonight. We ask it in the wonderful, mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of the blood, by the glory of the blood, we invoke Calvary, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, the work of Calvary into our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, in the mighty name of the Lord. Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. Amen, amen, amen. It's only 8:20. Why don't you find somebody you don't know, hug their neck, tell them you love them, it's good to see them, and let's just talk to one another for a little while. Let's pray for one another. Comfort one another.